Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the Monday Morning Recap, everyone. Look at that, 5 o'clock East Coast time. Right on time. As always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles your first deposits all the way up to $1,000. Bet with us or against us. Look, your family's at home. You hate them. Throw a game on in the background. Throw $20 on it just to feel alive inside. You can do that at MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. And right now would be a perfect time to head on over there and see their updated NFL MVP odds as well as their Super Bowl odds. We have breaking news to start the show. Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts potentially has a broken collarbone and may have died from AIDS.
Well, HIV... that was not yet confirmed as AIDS.
Okay, gotcha,
so
gotcha,
it's
gotcha.
Hard to say. I mean, the immune system stuff starts pretty early, so.
Yeah, and the reason I'm telling you to head on over there now is when you put the money in, okay? Odds have gone up on the Eagles. Everybody was high on them to win this year. It'll drop a little bit. You can get a value. Why? Because the greatest quarterback that ever lived is now going to get a chance to start on Saturday against the Dallas Cowboys.
Let me stop you right there, because if he was what you say he is, mm-hmm. then I'm pretty sure that the spread would go in the opposite direction, right?
So it did. It went up to 4.5 now.
No.
The Eagles were favored, and now they're not favored anymore in that game,
right?
Against the Dallas Cowboys. So.
Because the better quarterback is out.
Sure isn't. We're going to find out this weekend.
Let me get this straight. So the Eagle, what was the original spread for this game?
I believe it was -3.5 for the Eagles.
So there's a 7-point swing because one guy is out and another guy's in, and you're positing that it's because the guy coming in is better.
Yep.
Now you understand how data works, right?
Disrespect, because he hasn't played all year. Matter of fact, he's only played once in 2 years, and he only played with a backup team.
Now,
right?
Why do you think that is?
I don't know, and I can't figure it out. I'm looking at his numbers when he was at Jacksonville. What was wrong with him in Jacksonville?
The team sucked.
Yes, they did.
That was part of it.
But what was wrong with him personally? His numbers were fucking great.
His numbers look fine because he doesn't turn the ball over.
Great. And what's the only thing you need to do to operate as a quarterback in the two best teams in the NFC, the Eagles and the 49ers? Just don't turn the ball over.
I don't know if you could say that about the Eagles.
Great. I'm glad you brought up this point.
Like, the run game is quite a bit better in San Francisco than it is without Jalen Hurts in Philly.
Yes. Right? And what do they do when your guy who's leading the team in rushing, essentially, is out now? How much does that change that team?
Oh, dude, Gardner Minshew, draw up the middle. Let's go.
Yeah.
I want to see that offense.
I don't think that exists. So, by the way, this debate's been going on with old Philadelphia Eagles players and everything all week. Saying, is it the system? Is it the player? The only reason that Jalen Hurts is good is because during the offseason, the Eagles had to change their entire offense to tailor it for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah,
like, coaches should tailor their offensive schemes and defensive schemes around the players they have. That's being smart instead of trying to force a fucking square peg into a circle.
Right.
Yes.
Seems like a good idea. Look, I will say this. It's definitely the system if Gardner Minshew rushes for 70 yards on Saturday.
Well,
I will agree with you there, Rob. If Gardner Minshew goes for 100 on the ground, it's a system.
But
baby.
He doesn't. Yeah. He's not a running quarterback like that. So what if he throws for 400 yards? Have.
What if the fucking Bears tried to like shove Justin Fields into some dumbass like system that didn't suit his?
Well, they tried.
They are. At all. Yeah. They are, and they're still doing it.
And it's bad.
Right?
No, they've catered the offense to him now. But I don't know why he's playing.
I don't know why he's playing. Two, he has nothing on that team. So what did they cater exactly for him?
They're like,
they didn't get him a receiver. They didn't get him a running back.
Well, Sammy Watkins is available now.
What's that? Yeah, Sammy Watkins got cut. I saw that today.
Yeah, he's available now.
He's 90 years old. He's 90 years old.
He's 29.
He's not that old.
Yeah.
He's just had a lot of injuries the last couple of years.
A lot of mileage.
Yeah, a lot of mileage on him. But yeah, I mean, look. If he goes in there, I fully expect him to win. I'm going to moneyline this game, actually.
I wouldn't do that.
I think Minshew is really, really fucking good. And I've said this before, but I think the NFC East, that division is fucking dog shit. I watched the Giants-Washington game last night. Did you watch that?
Yeah.
Terrible.
I had the Giants.
Terrible. So did I.
It was
it's a bad game.
It was whatever.
Yeah, you but know, Washington plays like they want the game to suck.
New
York, I don't have any. There's no excuse for it, but Washington mucks it up.
The Giants do too. Giants, they're the same team, really. Yeah.
I will say this in somewhat of agreement with you. There's probably not 31 quarterbacks in the NFL better than Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he should probably be starting somewhere.
Probably.
So now he's starting on Saturday. You think he'll beat the Cowboys?
No, I don't. I think it's a must-win for the Cowboys.
And it's not a must win for the Eagles, right?
No.
It is not, no.
We're pretty much going to one more game, I think, and we clinch the number one seed.
And the bye.
Yeah.
You do, but I think it's a must win for Gardner, personally, if he wants to play for another team and he does believe he's a starter. Look, he's 6'1", 225, he's got great size, and he had good goddamn numbers in Jacksonville for the worst team in football, with no help whatsoever.
He doesn't make bad mistakes. I mean, if, you know, a guy like that on San Francisco, although I think Brock Purdy's the same kind of player, he doesn't make mistakes either. But a guy like that in an offense that has weapons is in a good defense is going to be a fucking value add for sure, like 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably should be starting.
Yeah, but we are loaded on offense. That's the whole thing.
Like, right.
You don't have to be conservative.
That's what I'm saying. So with him in there, I still don't see how they lose. I said this last week. I've said it all season. I don't think Dak Prescott will ever win a Super Bowl. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are very good. And they showed it again.
That made me so happy.
On Sunday. But they showed it again on Sunday. You watched the Jacksonville game.
Yeah, yeah.
In which everything I said on this NFL show last week, every single thing came true.
Well, they got up big. Jacksonville came back.
They did.
Trevor Lawrence playing his dick off. Dougie P. I think the Jags are going to make the playoffs, really. Because they have... I was looking at their schedule. They finished with the Titans,
yep.
Who are one game ahead of them. And Titans are and a they
play
ship
the,
right now.
They play the Texans, so they're going to win that game.
Beat the Texans.
And they've got one other game left. I think Jacksonville makes it.
Bears?
Yes.
So they could win out.
They could easily win out, for sure.
But they've got right now ahead of them. So the last two,
the
6 and 7 spot is the Chargers and Dolphins tied at 8 and 6. I doubt they're going to lose all the rest of their games.
It's not the wild card. They got to win the division. It's the Titans.
They have to win the division over the Titans. So right now the Titans are only one game ahead of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they play head to head this week, right?
Last week of the season. Yeah. Yeah. And they're one game back. So if they can make up that one game and then that last game will be, essentially to get into the playoffs, my money would be on Jacksonville, and they're a fun team to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Even last week on the NFL show, I said, look, man, I'm definitely watching this game, and it lived up to the hype. They looked like shit in the first half. Peterson turned it around, made some adjustments at halftime, and they came back and fucking beat the Cowboys.
Lawrence fumbles with a minute left.
I know.
But they get the stop. They had the 3 timeouts. Don't even have to use the 3 timeouts.
Well, they had 2 big fumbles that turned into scores, right? One was Travis Etienne in the first half.
Yep.
That turned into a score. So you're looking at a team with all these young guys on it, and you look back at situations like that where there were unforced errors, basically. Like, this team is probably pretty good. I mean, they put up fucking 34 points. They put up 40 points, I guess, on Dallas, who's got two of them. Well, one of them was a defensive touchdown. So 34 points on Dallas, which is a pretty good defense.
Yeah, you could make an argument Jags should have like 9 wins right now.
Yes, you sure could. And if they would have figured it out just a little bit earlier, they would probably be in the 10-6 range.
They just need more. They need more weapons on offense.
Yes,
really. Yeah. I mean, everybody could always use more defense, but they need probably one more offensive lineman, and they need a true number one receiver.
Yeah,
like if they had a true number one, let's just say they got Quentin Johnston, for example, which they won't because they're going to be too good this year. But let's say they got the first wide receiver out of the draft this year, and that was their number one guy. Then Christian Kirk and Zay Jones behind him, that's a pretty good fucking rotation.
Because Christian Kirk is a great number two, but he's not the guy.
He's also the best third down receiver in football this year, right?
Yes.
Which is an interesting tidbit. But yeah, if they're able to grab one really good receiver in the first round in this upcoming draft, that's going to be a dangerous team next year.
Don't they have the Rams pick?
I think they might actually.
They do.
So
yeah.
They have a
top five
pick to take Quentin.
I think they have a top five pick. You're correct.
Let's see.
They've got the Rams pick. By the way, going back to Gardner Minshew, 2019, only 6 interceptions out of that guy. 2020, only 5 interceptions. He fits in well with that current offense in Philadelphia. He won't be running as much, obviously, but I think the Eagles will be fine without Jalen Hurts. I'm gonna throw some money on them for the Super Bowl now. Now that Gardner's back, baby, let's go.
I know it's the Lions that have that pick.
Ah, yeah. I thought for whatever reason the Ramsey trade they still had picks.
I mean, Jacksonville's got pick 11 as it stands right now. So even if they don't finish out the season strong,
they can definitely get a top tier receiver.
Oh yeah, easily.
Jordan Addison. There's a bunch in the draft. I mean, honestly, Jackson Smith and Jigma would be a good one to take if they're convinced he's actually going to show up and play.
Well, who's going to play from this bowl season, which we'll get to in a minute. But watch the bets tonight, and then we'll pick up on the NFL in a second.
Your boy tonight. Our boy.
Boy. So I destroyed every single facet of this weekend in NFL-wise. Shout out to all the drinking bros who bet with me and are on this journey with me. I had a 3-game parlay, a 4-game parlay, a 5-game, a 6-game, a 7-game that hit last night.
Actually, and
the Giants game. And then 8, I will have an 8-game parlay with a pick'em on Green Bay. That will be the last leg of that parlay.
Every other bet you hit, you should take that money and put it on Green Bay.
Well, I'm thinking about putting it somewhere else, but...
And just put your entire weekend on Aaron Rodgers.
I might have to moneyline it tomorrow on college football's show. We'll see what happens.
I wouldn't do that.
And then lose it all to Baker tonight when Baker goes off.
I mean, honestly,
Baker breaks my 8 leg tonight, I'd be so pissed off.
I guess it's a little early.
If he just destroys the rest of your gambling season, that'd be kind of funny.
Oh, Baker Mayfield? Because I lost to him the week before. That was my only loss.
You're never going to bet on him.
And that was my only loss. And then tonight's game, because of the teaser, it's at a pick'em game. So all they have to do is win. It's going to be 22 degrees at kickoff tonight in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
If Baker Mayfield beats Aaron Rodgers tonight
and
kills my 8-game parlay, I'm going to be so pissed off about it. The other's already hit, so I'm good. Mm-hmm. That was the only one I put Green Bay in.
So
I'm fine.
If you haven't bet this game yet and you're in the audience, you're going to my bookie. The smart move, I think, is probably Rams plus 14.5. Teased alongside the under of 46.5.
I agree, but we'll get to that after the break. In the meantime, the top story of the weekend was obviously the World Cup. Worst place it's ever been played in the history of the World Cup, and it was actually the funnest game-wise World Cup there's ever been.
It's one of the crazier ones. I saw somebody have the take that we should only have World Cups now in places where you can't drink or have sex.
I guess.
I'm not sure that had any effect on the game.
It might have. Everyone's all ramped up.
That was definitely the best final match that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
All of the game, even leading up to it. I mean, it was incredible across the board.
First 80 minutes sucked.
They did, but Mbappe was the guy we hoped he was.
But that's
Messi was the guy we hoped he was.
That's soccer though.
Mm.
Like the majority, it's like going to war. You're going to spend 95% of the time sitting around with your thumb up your ass, and then 5% fighting.
Yeah.
You got the. I mean, they got the PK, and then immediately score a goal. I think a minute later.
A fucking incredible shot.
Yeah.
Shot.
Oddly enough. Argentina suffered from the same shit that France has suffered from this whole time, which is over-aggressive defense. Like, they had two PKs in a fucking final match. You cannot allow that shit.
Yeah, it was weird to see.
Very undisciplined. Although, you know what was funny is at the end, right before overtime began, I don't remember who it was. Somebody on the broadcast team was like, Argentina's probably going to try to play for a tie here because they can definitely win the shootout. Nobody had any question about that. And they eventually went on to prove that. That goalie in shootouts is the best in the world.
Yeah, like, so there was some people in the neighborhood. I was watching it at their house, and they were like, what are you on your phone right now? And I'm like, I'm looking at the live line. And they're like, oh, shit, are you betting it? And I go, yeah. And they go, Argentina's got the best goalie there is. Mm. And I posted it in Drinking Bros Sports. So it was plus 210 for Argentina to win in PK, and it wasn't even close. And then homeboy...
Well, Argentina scores in extra time, and then
that should have been 3-2. That should have been it.
Yeah. France comes back,
on the PK. Comes back, scores. A terrible, horrible fucking just decision on that Argentine defender. Like, I mean, he probably couldn't tell that the ball was not on net, but I mean, like... just flung his arm out there. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, did not even come close to trying to
keep
it.
And then almost lose the game outright extra time. Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. And homie makes the save, goalie, the kick save. Yes. Martinez, right?
I saw a bunch of people butthurt that it's like, oh, it was incidental contact. Like, no, I mean, look, you're a fucking soccer player for your entire career. You're at the highest level in the highest level game that exists. And a guy's trying to shoot on net, and you fucking spin around to block, which is a normal thing to do, but you do it like this instead of like this.
Yeah.
Mm. That's not a fucking...
You don't do it... I mean, it wasn't even like this. Yeah. It was like...
Not incidental contact. Right. Anybody that's ever played... Like, when you line up on the line in front of a fucking free kick, if you jump up to block the kick, like, sometimes... We saw some interesting things this time. One guy laid down behind the line to keep him from shooting the worm burner through, which is a good strategy. But when you jump, you turn... Exactly for that reason, you keep your arms tucked in.
Yeah.
This is a professional defender at the highest possible. Well, that was not incidental contact.
No.
I don't think it matters either.
No, it doesn't matter. It used to, by the way. Yeah. Like, the refs had... It used to have...
If it was, like, above the elbow and... Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Intent mattered. I don't think it
does. I will say, though, that was bad, but the... And the... Or the kick save one was an incredible save that saved it, but to me, the one I thought that really, really Argentina fucked up on and got really lucky on... is the other save the goalie had where the guy kind of like fell to the ground and kneed it to him, the Argentine defender, because the French guy like worked his way through the box.
Yeah.
Essentially, like, the French attacker like tripped or got tripped up a little bit, and every fucking Argentine defender stopped because they thought the whistle was about to get blown. And he got tripped like right outside the box, so it wasn't going to be a PK. But they all stopped.
Yeah.
And they were all like, oh, okay. And he just kept going. And then they were like, oh, fuck, they didn't blow the whistle, and they had to, like, recover. And, like, I mean, it was a fucking miracle that guy didn't put it in the net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the way it went back and forth for the Golden Boot, too, was awesome, where it was Messi, Mbappe, Messi, Mbappe, Messi, Mbappe. That was amazing. Giorgio, is Messi now the greatest of all time?
We're haters.
The internet says yes. So, you know, you got to go with the internet. I mean, I think
who would you have above him?
A friend of mine put a poll up, and Messi v Ronaldo, and Messi was up 84%.
I don't think if anybody was challenging him, it would be Ronaldo. Like, you may go old school with Pele or somebody like that, but you know, I mean, it's obvious.
I honestly, I'll be real. I don't know enough about soccer, but I would. Pele is just like that name. Just
he seems lives forever. Like Babe Ruth. So yeah. Type of situation.
But yeah. The difference is that the world was still sending their best athletes to play soccer back then, right? Where Babe Ruth played a very limited selection of competition.
They got kicked a lot more. So if you like any of the regards, like how bad like other teams just try to take these players out by kicking them, and then what they were still able to do. The way they were marked out of games, it was really impressive. But honestly, going back and watching like old footage kind of blows. Like, they're like lumping the ball in the air, and it's just like the ball moves so slowly compared to the pace of the game now. So yeah. it's almost like not even
comparable. Talked about this, the original World Cup in 1930. It was essentially just a bunch of like hockey fights.
There were literal hockey fights in the first World Cup.
Literally, you talk about Leeds and those dirty cheaters. They would just have fist fights, like in the mud, like
1930 World Cup, Argentina was seen as the bad boys because they would just like throw hands.
But what else could Messi possibly win Maradona, at this point, by the way?
Yeah. Maradona was all hopped up on cocaine, just getting in fist fights on the pitch.
Which is awesome. Yeah. But what else could Messi... He's won everything you could ever win. How would he not be the greatest?
Yeah, but he's such a fucking chach.
He played at Boca Juniors, which is like the best feeder team out of Argentina. Sent him up to La Mesa in Barcelona, where they got him up on steroids since he was a young kid. He was on that HGH, being coached by the very best coaches and the very best youth development program in the world. Then comes into a team managed by Pep Guardiola, coming out of a team being coached by Ralf Rangnick, that had Thierry Henry, that had Samuel Eto'o, that had Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Like, he's on the crest of this like best team ever, that's with the best manager ever, with all these best players, and then wins everything. They win like two triples. I think they win two Champions Leagues cups and league cups throughout their time. They never won a quadruple, which I don't think any team technically ever has yet. Okay, cool. Congratulations. You know, he goes to PSG and is terrible. Another super team with Neymar, Mbappe, like this is apparently the most dangerous front line ever assembled. And I mean, the man, like, you don't hear anything playing in the French league. Like, I don't know. Like, I need more than just being great at Barcelona at the best club ever.
Okay, that sounds dumb.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
It's almost like
Ronaldo never won a World Cup.
This isn't like fucking an actor whose parents are actors and just like got gifted an agent and all the cover of Vanity Fair today or whatever. Like, it still has to
You still have to perform at a high level, and also, it's nuts, dude.
I mean, I'm not defending Ronaldo here, but Portugal's not
for sure. I don't blame Ronaldo for not winning a World
Ronaldo's
Cup.
Ronaldo's won a league title in like four leagues. He won it in Portugal, won a title in England,
Spain,
and in with Juventus in Italy. Like, I mean, he's done crazy things. Put up ridiculous numbers.
He's about to get paid like $1 billion a year in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm.
Sick abs.
I think he's going to get like $250 million a year.
Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Messi is a bit of a system player, right? He's like,
I don't know.
You can look statistically, he's better when he's the best player on the pitch, typically. Who is the best player in Argentina other than him, right? But if you like, Giorgio mentioned
that they took out midway through the game.
Di Maria.
I forget. He was like a midfielder.
But if he was that great, you wouldn't have taken him out midway through the game. You know what I'm saying?
Depends on how the game's going. Yeah. What they want to see.
I mean, they were up 2-0.
Because Ronaldo's his age, and they pulled him.
At any rate, Giorgio just pointed this out. Three of the best players in the world all play for PSG right now. Neymar, who's the best player in Brazil, and then Mbappe, who's probably the best player in the world right now. And Lionel Messi, they're all on the fucking front line. They play a 2-1 forward setup. But I don't. You watch. I've seen PSG play this year. It's almost like, remember when Durant went to the Warriors? Like, well, how are they going to find the shots? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because there's only so many shots to take.
It's only one
ball. They made it work, right?
Yeah.
Because all three of those guys are hyper competent. And none of them are particularly selfish when it comes to scoring like that. It all worked out. It doesn't really work out that way in soccer that much. You know what I mean? If you have a high usage rate. So Messi's best when he has good attacking midfielders feeding him the ball somewhere in space, so he can create a little space of his own and either launch a shot, or he's the best passer I've ever seen, ever.
Yep.
I've never seen anybody as good as him, particularly at a through pass. That's how you set him up for success. Putting him with a guy like Mbappe, who's best when he's dominating the ball down in the fucking far left corner of the pitch, I'm not sure is the best setup for them. It's not like soccer is one of those sports where you can't just put the best players all on the same team and expect a good outcome, because we've seen that before, right?
Right. Yeah.
We've seen it a lot, actually, when you have these quote unquote super teams and they just fucking flop.
Yeah. So Giorgio, who would be better than him in your opinion?
That's, you know,
we're just haters, okay? Just, haters, just, you know, just recognize just that we want to hate. He's a little chotch, he's a little douche, and we don't want to recognize him as a goat.
But he wins. And like, look, I feel the same way about Brady. And I have a reason.
It's so different with Brady, because Brady has set himself so far ahead of the field. Messi hasn't done that. And Messi is not like light years ahead of everyone like everyone thinks he is. Just the dick riders have you convinced that he's that good. Like, he's really,
but who would be better, and who has better numbers. Than
Ronaldo,
him.
Right,
what do you do?
Let me just put
Ronaldo's
this out there
got
for
about
you.
25 more goals than Lionel Messi has
in league play.
And league play, yeah. Although it's in 145 more games, so
I think it says a lot. Like a people lot. That love Messi that ride hard for him are also the guys that dick ride for LeBron James. The like,
yes.
Venn diagram is a circle.
Why? What does that mean?
I don't know. It's just like the guys that are like really into Messi.
I hate LeBron, but I love LeBron. Like
shitty
I love watching
sports
Messi.
Fans love Messi. Like Messi is your. Like suburban house mom's favorite soccer player.
This sounds like a bunch of fucking contrarian horseshit.
Yeah, no, dude. Like dude that did my tattoo, right? He's from Mexico. He was celebrating last night for the Argentina win because he's a big Messi fan.
Yeah, but I mean, you root for the best, and he fucking scored.
Does the guy who gave you a tattoo suck?
How
like,
many,
are you like
yes.
this guy's
how
yeah,
many
but
goals
like,
did he have?
He has Messi posters and LeBron posters all over.
Let me ask you this. If it was the final season for Dan Marino or Charles Barkley, right, and they had a chance to win a title, would you not be rooting for them?
For who?
Dan Marino, Charles Barkley, two great players who famously never won a title.
Yeah, I love Chuck, but no, not Dan Marino.
Why?
I mean, Marino sucks. Have you like met him in person ever?
Well, no. Yeah, we have, but besides him being a person.
For him.
No. Yeah, but besides him being a person. Yeah. As a player, he's
really
got unbelievable stats.
For sure. Like,
LeBron,
he was great. But
LeBron
like,
is an
Dan
annoying
Marino.
Person, but I love watching LeBron.
Dan
Marino is
probably
so.
The best quarterback ever. I mean, if you put. He was putting up today's style numbers in a time when they didn't fucking throw the ball very much.
So here's why I don't like LeBron as the player. Forget about the person. As a player. His game to me is ugly to watch. His jumper has always been very, very ugly to watch.
It's bully ball.
Yes. Yeah. And there's no finesse.
Yeah, there is. His passing is pure finesse. Passing's fucking like magical.
His passing is. But his shooting is nuts. Whereas if you're asking who I would love to watch because I enjoyed watching them because it was just beautiful or poetry, whatever you want to call it, it's Jordan or Kobe to me because it was just so fucking smooth. Where LeBron, every time he shoots, I don't know that it's going in. With those two guys, I knew it was going in. With LeBron, I just don't, and it just looks so herky-jerky and ugly. His passing is great.
He's just a slightly better shooter than Draymond Green, to be honest. And statistically speaking, which should tell you something, because Draymond's not great. Although he's just got an ugly shot and makes 35% of his threes.
All about volume.
Yeah, it is. It is. And look, like
Draymond's not really putting it up there.
Right. But LeBron is, and he's going to break the scoring title. Do I think he should? No. I mean, it's the
best comparison ever. LeBron is America's Messi.
Yeah.
And there's no better comparison. Yeah.
But at least I can name people better than him. I can't do that with Messi. For Messi, it's the same question I asked at the beginning.
Who's had
better?
Better seasons? The Ronaldinho years at Barcelona were better individual seasons than Messi in an individual mission.
Well, Thierry Henry seasons from 1999 to 2004 at Arsenal were better than anything Messi's ever done in club play.
The Invincibles team that Thierry Henry was on.
2004, yeah.
I mean, we're not even talking about Zidane at all, like Zinedine Zidane, any of those Real Madrid years with Roberto Carlos and the original Ronaldo.
As an entire body of work and career, who is better than Messi?
Johan Cruyff? Like, we can talk about Cruyff if you want to take it back in the day a little bit.
Who's your guy? Gun to head, who's the guy that is better than Messi career-wise that you would swap out?
Probably Zidane. I think the Zidane won, two World Cups and like just as many Champions Leagues?
Yeah, he also gave somebody a concussion with his own head in the middle of a match, which is pretty
I like
dope.
That.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
That was a World Cup final.
That was the most iconic moment in World Cup history, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot, and that's fun. But yeah, it's probably Messi.
Mortal Kombat finishing moves on the pitch. Like, how do you not like just the... Ugh!
I mean, he did cost France a World Cup, probably.
He did.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Messi played with one man down the entire game.
Yep.
Messi's
yep.
got the record for the most goals in a season in club play. It's 73 goals. That's fucking...
Stat compiler.
Those
oh, God.
No, those...
So he's the Russell Westbrook of soccer.
No, it was. Those seasons, him and Ronaldo were going back and forth, like both easily scoring over 30 goals in the league.
Yeah.
And both the teams were playing. They were in every competition. They played like 60 games. It was something insane. Dan, does it tell you how many games they played that season he scored all that?
I don't know, but Ronaldo scored in this. Let's see. It was
close, like within two or three goals.
No, it was within 12.
It wasn't within 12.
The most Ronaldo ever scored was 61.
Either way, I'm happy for the country of Argentina. It looks like a good time.
You see the celebration videos? It looks like a blast. And I think, you know, look, for the casual soccer fan, let's face it, everybody in America is. Nobody's really rooting for USA.
And France just went through this 4 years ago. They had their moment.
They did. Yep. And that kid's, that Mbappe kid is only 23, although he looks like he's 38. He's going to be there for what, three more cups probably? At a minimum?
Probably. I mean, he played in the last one too. Like, he's already won a World Cup.
Yeah.
And played pretty well. He, in my opinion, like right now, today, I think he's the best player.
I don't know about three though, because like his whole selling point, his speed, main attribute is speed. So that'll kill.
So he'll be fine at 27.
Yeah.
31.
That's when you change the game. You develop other
soccer's like tennis used to be, where you get on the other side at 30 and you're just a fucking corpse.
Who are the other best players in soccer right now?
Well, I don't know.
Phil Foden is coming alive. Big fan of him coming out of England and stuff. He's doing it in Manchester City, to be honest.
Well, the guy who got awarded the best player in the world this year was Benzema. He's 35. Lionel Messi, who just won the goddamn Golden Ball and the title, is 35, 34, 35, whatever he is. Hard to say that after 30 you just drop off.
But
a cliff,
it's also
right?
Like tennis right now, where the big names are still kind of holding on.
Yeah. Like also, Messi's, at least with Messi, as far as I can recall, speed was never part of his game.
Quickness, but not speed. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, he's not. He doesn't have breakaway speed. He's a tiny just guy. Lateral movement.
He's right. Nimble. He's so agile. Nimble.
And he'll lose him.
Like his ability. I think what's great about Messi, aside from the obvious physical attributes, is how he reads the pitch. So that shot he took on goal from
incredible save, by the way.
From the top of the box. This is what was happening. The entire defense was moving to the right to adjust for the pass that was just made. He takes the first ball, moves slightly to the left, and immediately kicks it. Like, you have to see that happening.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, he's probably I'm not like – I don't watch soccer super closely, but, like, he's like maybe the greatest space creator in soccer history, and he doesn't even need that much space. Like, correct, it's just fucking an inch.
Because he's the size of Deuce Vaughn.
As far as natural scorers, though, like, I think his best attribute is creating space and passing. He just happens to score a lot of goals because he's a forward. And that, I mean, he happens to score the most goals because he's a forward. But Ronaldo is a better natural scorer.
Ibrahimovic
is probably a better natural scorer than he is.
I did get a little bit more respect for Messi when he pretty much big-leagued Salpe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally big boy Salpe.
What was that guy doing on the fucking field?
I don't know. I don't know how he got there.
He's got restaurants all over the place over there in the Mideast. He's a very wealthy man.
And Jesus, I think Messi, Christ, like, locked eyes with him. He's like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
That's what it looked like to
That's
me.
What I would do. Like, if I just won the World Cup and Gordon Ramsay showed up, I'd be like,
That's not true. If it was Fieri, I'd be all in.
Right?
Gordon Ramsay began his professional career as a professional football player, right?
Did he?
He was a soccer player for like six or 8 years before he started cooking.
Okay.
So that might make more sense. Maybe Mario Batali would make more sense because he's definitely never done anything athletic in his life.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely nothing.
He would
wrong,
actually
never.
Have a stroke watching a soccer game.
Well, or rape somebody.
Yeah.
Either way. We'll switch on over to college football here for a moment. College bowl games are in full swing right now. I want to talk about this Florida game, man.
I mean, Marshall's lighting up UConn.
They're up 28-14.
Want to talk? Oh, it is. UConn's got 14 right now.
They got 14.
All right, yeah. We got back. Like 28-0.
The line is 12.5.
There's 10.5
minutes
left in the game.
I need them to backdoor this bitch.
What is it?
I took UConn in 12.5.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to chase tonight.
They get backdoor. They got the ball right now.
They could. Yeah. They're driving.
It was 28-0.
They're on the Marshall 40. It's 4th and 8th.
Wow. 4th and 13 now.
Yep. But with that, I have a feeling this is what a lot of these games are going to be. So I watched that Florida game. I had it on in the background against Oregon State.
Go Gators.
God damn it, man. I'm sure Jake was
pumped.
Yeah.
He was passionate about it. Like,
if I'm like Allstate or whomever it is spending money on the bowl game, and I'm like, the part of the contract is the TV money that you pay for advertising, but also part of the money goes to the schools. A good portion of it goes to the schools. I tell the school, you're fucking getting a percentage of that money for every removed for every fucking starter that sits out the game.
That doesn't matter to the players, though. They don't care.
That's fine.
I fine, but for the university, at least.
I just mean,
imagine, like, look at all the giant contracts the NBA signed with ESPN and stuff. Like, there's guys that sit out constantly.
Yeah, right, they change that rule. They change. Yeah. Yes, they get fined for it right now.
Yeah. Well, correct. When they're professional.
Two teams got fined this week for sitting out players.
They should, because like they signed massive, massive contracts.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like at the bowl, like we all bitch, like there shouldn't be this many bowls. There should be as many bowls as they could possibly create, in my opinion.
I agree. I just want to see more football.
Because they're entertaining. Care. But to protect the market and protect the advertiser, I really do feel like there should be some penalty for the team if the players sit out.
I would say maybe if you start profit sharing with the players on the bowl specifically, and then they don't get the money if they sit out. But then again, you know, they might still think it's not worth.
Well, the players are getting
paid. For the bowl game, like a bonus.
Yeah, like the players. Okay. Yeah. That might be worth it.
Something has to change. And to that point, like, we'll shout out Alabama with Dan.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Said before the show started, they did announce that Alabama starters were playing, including Bryce Young, who is the first pick in the draft.
Can you imagine going to the Saban's office and being like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't play this game?
Bryce Young, who will probably be the first pick in the draft, by the way.
That's what I'm saying.
Has nothing to gain from playing this game.
Zero.
Literally nothing.
Yeah.
And somehow Saban was able to convince him, or maybe that's just who he is.
So what happens when he gets hurt against Kansas State?
Exactly.
Right. It's a fair question.
I'm glad you brought that up. So he made $4.5 million in NIL this year, right? That's a lot of fucking money. Mm. What is the
kind of life-changing money?
But
that is life-changing money. Are you kidding me?
$4.5 million?
That is life-changing money. It's not you can retire on it money. But that is you're fucking coasting on Easy Street money. Like you always have something in the bank. You know what I mean?
That's if you're financially responsible, yes.
Well, I mean, look, $10.5 million still isn't. If you're going to blow $4.5 million, you're probably going to blow $10 million.
Me and Dan would both easily run through that.
I'm sure.
In like a semester,
six years. Even if we tried to be responsible with it, six years, we would like have just pissed through it all.
Seems high.
Yeah, exactly.
I said a semester.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say with the Florida game, though, like, yeah, that stinks. A lot of people sitting out, Andy Richardson, et cetera.
You can't really account for child pornography.
Can't account for that. And also, Florida wasn't that good this year, and Oregon State was. Like, Florida was... Mm. I watched a fair amount of Florida games, and they were not that
good. No, but Oregon State was...
Not that
great.
They
were fine.
Yeah, they're not that great.
They're ranked.
I don't expect them to beat Florida by 27. Really 30 and then a garbage time field goal, but like
they're hitting their stride to beat Oregon.
I do expect Oregon State. I would have expected Oregon State both full squad neutral field. I'd call that. I would guess Oregon State by double digits.
But
not double digits.
Yeah, I think so.
Not if Richardson's playing. No,
but you guys had said Washington State had a pretty decent team this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got blown out as well.
This by Fresno.
29-6.
I know. Haener,
that's
kind
the
of
worst
a,
game.
Well, Haener was more of like a showcase game for him.
Louisville destroyed Cincinnati, which shouldn't be a thing, but I guess you lost your coach and everything
else. Well, Satterfield went to Cincinnati.
Who did?
The Louisville coach.
Oh, he did go to Cincinnati. Yeah. Okay. And then they lost their coach, so they're out.
Yeah, it was a revenge game. Didn't we call that in the bowl preview?
I don't maybe.
Louisville's revenge.
But they both didn't have coaches, so
yeah. I picked Louisville just because I'd seen them play a few times this year, and they look pretty decent. But some of these games, man, it's hard. They've got to do something with these kids sitting out.
Well,
man.
maybe the sponsors do a secondary NIL deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have guys that are fucking gonna be top or first round draft picks. By the way, Will Anderson as well from Alabama is playing.
Yes,
he's. That's two top five picks from one team.
It might
both
be the
playing.
First two picks in the draft.
Again, could
be,
You can't tell Saban though.
Maybe that's part.
I would. But I'd say I love you, man. But what bowl is it? Something shitty.
It's a Sugar Bowl. It's not true.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, they're in a New Year's Six bowl.
But it's like, you know, if I'm the sponsor, maybe I say, hey, here's $100,000 for playing the game. If it's a top player,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Why not?
And
who cares?
You want to yell at somebody for all this? It all started in the Sun Bowl with Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah. He was the first one to do
it.
Yeah.
He's the trailblazer for this.
And then we'll flop on over to the NFL real quick. As always, our title sponsor is mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposits all the way up to $1,000. Lots of bowl games to bet on. I mean, look, I would start looking at these games in all honesty and seeing who's out and then picking the other team. That seems to be the trend right now.
Just go dogs.
Yeah, go. It's which is great because you can win a lot more fucking money that way. And then the NFL, Jesus Christ, the run I'm on in the last few weeks is unbelievable. Get off the couch, get into the action. Relatives are in town, you're bored, get drunk, bet on games. It's a fucking blast. Tons to bet on over the holidays. Go to mybookie.com, use the promo code DRINKINGBROS. That will double your first deposits to $1,000. And as always, you can buy tickets for all these games at drinkingbrostickets.com. They're about $10 cheaper than StubHub. For example, if you're at this game tonight with the Rams and Packers, $25 in Green Bay, which is nice. That's some people's bucket list is to go to Lambeau Field.
That's not live.
$25 there. All right, let's get into tonight's game. This is Rams at the Packers. This is Green Bay -7.5. This has jumped up a half a point here since when I bet it. We'll start around the horn. D'Anthony, you're up first. Over under is 39.5. Kickoff temperature will be 24 degrees, it says here now.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, there's no really inclement weather. Baker is not great in super cold weather. Historically,
tiny hands.
We talked about that last week. It's just the ability to grip the ball is a problem. So I'm taking, I don't think they're going to get blown out. The Packers don't have an explosive offense either. As a matter of fact, I think both teams will probably have a defensive touchdown in this game, if I had to guess. But I'm going to go, it's -7.5 Green Bay right now and 39.5 over under. I'm going to go Rams +14.5 and then under 46.5. I'm going to parlay that.
Yep, gotcha. Who do you got?
Go with Baker and the Rams +7.5. And I'm also going to take the under 39. I think this is going to be ugly as hell. I think it's going to
be... No teasers whatsoever, huh?
Nah, straight up. Okay. Those are two separate straight bets. This is going to be like 17-13.
This will be an ugly one. Who do you got, Bob?
Rams, money line.
Really?
Rams win.
Let's go.
Baker Mayfield?
Yep. Rams win.
Our guy.
Oh, boy. Your
better,
boy.
Better coaching, more motivated team.
Better ingredients, better pizza.
Better pizza at Papa John's. You had me by a tenth of a second, I think, on that one, by the way.
That's all it takes.
It sure is. Sure is. Look, I've already bet this. If you guys are following along, everybody was amped about those fucking teasers over the weekend. One more left, and it's an 8-gamer. It's just a pick'em. It was a pick'em on there for Green Bay on that teaser. But I'll go ahead and I'm going to do the same thing D'Anthony's doing tonight on this. I'll put a separate bet down. I'm going to take this up to 14.5 for the Rams and take that over up to 46.5 as well there. When you hit up these big boy spreads, and I did it with that Chiefs game, and I told you guys this last week. It was Houston -14.5, or I'm sorry, KC -14.5. I jacked it up for Houston to go 21.5. It's just too big for these NFL games. A fucking double-digit spread in the NFL these days is really fucking hard to cover. Even with a team as good as the Eagles, I dropped that spread down to 2.5. It was 9.5 over the weekend. And
as Regester once told me a while back, I don't remember when it was, but I was like looking at lines, and he was like, "You're thinking with college football brain.
Yeah.
You got to just forget that for the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, like you do. Just, you really do.
The fucking Texans force the Chiefs into overtime,
right? Yes, and again,
they're all pros.
They're all pros, and let's face it, the Chiefs are still the Chiefs, and they're lazy as fuck. But one of the most impressive games over the weekend, again, man, was the fucking 49ers. What do you do against this defense? Geno Smith has had a great fucking year. They made him look like a child in this game. Brock Purdy, I guess is your dude. Does it really matter in this?
I mean, do you like Jimmy G that much more?
No.
It's just people get over it. All right. Some people win with a game manager. Like the vanity that NFL fans have about needing a sexy quarterback or something. Winning is sexy.
You need a good coach or a good quarterback.
Right.
You have both.
You're spoiled.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just win. Just be happy you're winning.
Yeah.
You don't need some fucking fancy quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, look at Justin Herbert right now. Great quarterback.
Yep.
Unbelievable talent.
Yep.
Terrible coach.
Yep.
Terrible coach.
And they're middling team.
They're barely winning games, and it's simply because of his talent. That coach is one of the worst in the fucking NFL. I could go on a tirade about why they even hired that guy in the first place, but I think you already know.
He's the same guy last year, right?
Yeah.
Who cost him a playoff spot?
Yes, dude.
Well, how do we sucks. Already know?
It's just, I just think there's certain people out there who are getting the jobs over others that should definitely not be getting these jobs.
He's a white man.
I know he's a white man. But I'm saying, like, in my opinion, Eric Bieniemy should be a fucking head coach right now.
Probably.
And he's not because this dipshit is in there. I don't think Leftwich.
You know,
Leftwich.
I don't know about Leftwich.
I'm still not going to Leftwich. Like, I hate Todd Bowles as well, but...
Oh, no.
Leftwich is going to get a shot sometime in the next couple of years, and then we'll... My understanding is he's a really bad play caller, but...
Well, with Bieniemy, he gives the worst interviews on the planet. That's what everybody on the inside has said, so who knows? But with this...
But he has also managed the best offense in NFL history for some time now.
Yes, and with this offense of a young quarterback who is going to be a superstar, he already is. Keenan Allen's finally healthy. Who's the other guy opposite him? He's finally healthy. They're playing Eckler's.
Not to mention the fact that on paper, especially next year when J.C. Jackson gets back from injury, they have the best defense on paper in football.
Dude.
I mean, they've got Hall of Famers at every level of their defense.
What would Bieniemy do with this guy and this team? It could be amazing.
Yeah, maybe he goes to Dallas. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys...
I think it's Sean Payton.
It could be, but the Dallas Cowboys football coach shouldn't be that responsible for too much press because Jerry does half of it.
He does.
You know what I mean? Like, every Monday morning, he does that podcast.
Yeah.
But anyways, I wanted to talk about the fucking Redskins.
Vikings?
No, the Redskins got completely butt-fucked this weekend.
Yeah.
Twice, right? In the last two series.
Two different plays.
Holy shit. Did you watch the game?
I did.
So you saw when they're lined up on the goal line and Terry McLaurin looks over at, by the way, the wide receiver, like they don't get enough credit for how good their wide receiver core is, I don't think, because they've got two Ohio State guys.
Yeah.
Curtis Samuel and Scary Terry.
And they're both great.
They're really fucking good. Curtis Samuel actually, I think his junior year in Ohio State before he left, he had like 1,100 yards receiving and 780 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's crazy. Anyways. So Gary Terry's sitting on the line, and this is something that happens a lot when a guy is lined up in a formation where there's no other receivers on his side. You have to be on the fucking line of scrimmage.
Yes, correct.
So he looks at the fucking line judge, which this is the only job the line judge has, is to make sure that the alignment of the offense is correct. That's their job. So he looks at him, points to get clearance like this. The guy nods at him.
Twice.
But the whole time the dude has his hand on his flag, and as soon as the play kicks off,
like
he throws the flag. Yep. That to me was extremely fucking fishy.
And I can tell you this, having played wide receiver most of my life, from Pop Warner football, the first thing they tell you is make sure you're on sides, ask the official next to you, he will give you, you're good to go, and you're in. If he says back up, he will tell you to back up every fucking time. That has never happened in a fucking child's game, let alone an NFL game, where you're coming down to the last fucking seconds of the game.
Yeah.
That makes no goddamn sense. Well, that guy should be fired.
He should at least be investigated because that's fucking fishy.
It's crazy.
Like, it's a little weird.
It's either crazy. Extremely incompetent.
No
or
flag
he did
on
it on
the
purpose.
Clearly pass interference.
Yeah, and then the last.
But you ask, and if he gives you a fucking nod, you should at least be able to challenge that and be like, "Hey, dude,
but
go to the fucking booth."
The entire time, hands on the flag, like he's ready.
Yeah,
that was really weird. And then the non-call on the DPI, the defensive pass interference.
He had two arms wrapped around him, though.
I understand that a little bit more. Like, let the guy settle it on the field if it's not like clear and obvious.
That was clear and obvious.
It was a little clear and obvious, but like not overly.
Yeah,
it wasn't overkill.
But
right?
Here, like, if I'm the ref in that situation, I call that for two reasons: one, because it was a clear and obvious fucking foul, but two, because even if they call that, it's first and goal on the half yard line, basically, right, or on the one, I guess, from that position, and they still have to get the ball in the end zone. Mm-hmm. One and two, they still have to fucking make the 2-point conversion just to tie the game. So it was still on the field. It could have been decided, even if they had called that DPI.
And a 2-point conversion is no gimme.
No, they fucked it up on. Well, actually, they didn't fuck it up. Right, no. They fucked Scary Terry out of the points.
Right, right.
But either way, I mean, it's still a difficult thing to do. Yeah, this is this might be the most egregious ref stealing the game from a team, or at least the potential to tie or win, that I've seen since that Rams playoff game a couple years ago. Rams-Saints playoff game.
And I'm not making any accusations, but I think the more prevalent sports gambling becomes, we're going to have some shitty situations that
I 100% agree. Because that seems really fucking off. And that's, again, you learn that as a child. And they'll tell you, the ref will tell you, if you were off sides, he will tell you to back up. I mean, it makes no fucking sense whatsoever. We'll get to this Vikings game here. 33-0 at halftime. In my mind, I was thinking, if there was anybody who looked for a live line to bet this at halftime, it was probably Delco. Did you end up doing anything with this?
No, I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't watching the game. So
okay.
I forgot it was on, to be honest.
Well, is it noon?
Yeah.
And remember, if you remember last week correctly, I said, don't bet against Kirk Cousins at noon, because nobody's watching the game.
And then I was like, oh shit, it's 33-0.
Yeah, and then he comes back and he wins 39-36.
I kind of
feel
like
Dan and I get a fucking ruthless message in Drinking Bros Sports from that guy who said, don't ever talk about shit about Kirk Cousins again. He had to score 39 points in the second half just to barely beat a shitty team.
Biggest comeback in NFL history.
It sure is.
Yeah, and now Matt Ryan's on the receiving end of the biggest comeback in playoff and regular season NFL history. It might be time to hang them up, bud. By the way, this Colts team is fucking terrible.
Well, Colts could actually still be in the playoff race if they just never benched Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
In the first place?
Frank Reich might still have a job if he just didn't bench Matt Ryan.
Although the Jeff Saturday hire might be looking worse and worse.
It's definitely looking worse and worse. Now Jonathan Taylor's out for the year.
Hang on. Is it looking worse, or did they want to tank intentionally? Because I think you should probably ask that.
It's probably the Ursae plan.
I'm like, sure they want to
hire a homie.
Yeah.
And also simultaneously lose.
Give him some money and then just, whoops, we lost all of our games and now we get a high draft pick. Because the Colts have a pretty goddamn decent team.
Yeah, they're right technically now, not even eliminated from the playoffs.
And they're not, well, they're 4-9. So 4-9-1.
That division's still up.
Is it really?
Yeah. They're 3 games back, right? Or 2.5 games back?
Well, I guess so. But but if you look at this team on paper, I think Taylor being out for the rest of the year is a good thing. He's great. You don't need to fucking waste any more time with this bullshit team. They got a decent receiver. All they really need is a quarterback.
No, their defense is pretty decent. Two additional receivers. They need a quarterback to make that offense good. They have Pittman and that's it.
But another receivers, you're not asking for a lot. Pittman's pretty good.
They just haven't really even tried to get a quarterback.
In years?
Like a young quarterback since Luck retired, because they just, I mean, Brissett and Philip Rivers. They're just running the same.
Rivers, Wentz.
I mean, you got to think Minshew's next.
Wentz and fucking.
No, well, every.
Minshew's winning a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, Minshew's a Colt.
Every mock draft I've seen has them taken either C.J. Stroud or Will Levis from Kentucky.
No, good luck.
Depending
with Levis
on which one.
I like Levis. I think Levis is going
to
be fun.
Levis is going to bomb so hard.
I don't understand that hype.
It's going to be one of them two or Bryce Young, whoever's left. They have the sixth pick, probably, I think, unless things change dramatically.
Levis has never had a wide receiver at all. Stroud's had the world. I mean, it's.
CJ Stroud is not a first round draft.
They're trying to make it like an impress. The other week, they were showing a video of him throwing a ball 50 yards flat footed. I'm like, every quarterback can do that. Like, that's not hard.
Yeah, that's not part of the game. The part of the game is putting the ball in a place where only your receiver and not the enemy can grab it.
But he's also, what, 6'5", 240? Like, the guy's a fucking... He looks like an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, a lot of guys that look like NFL quarterbacks end up being dog shit.
Yeah, like Ryan Leaf.
Yeah.
Looked like an NFL quarterback.
Fucking Blaine Gabbert. Like, I mean, Blaine Gabbert, look, if you told a machine to 3D print a quarterback,
an AI
machine to paint a quarterback, it would just be Blaine fucking Gabbert.
Don't you dare talk bad about Blaine Gabbert.
I love him. I love him. I do.
Does he also have a ring?
Yeah, with Brady.
I honestly respect
Mizzou quarterbacks.
No,
we're not
coming out
you,
getting
baby.
Rings.
Yeah.
I think Daniel Jones is the same, to be honest. Like, the only difference between those guys and him is that he can run the ball, and that opens it up a little bit for him. But he is a terrible fucking quarterback.
I agree.
He's so bad. I can't believe they've stuck with him this long.
Well, they're winning. Like, I mean, it's...
No, they're not.
Yeah. They're 8-4 right now. They're going to the playoffs this year.
8-5-1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to the playoffs.
That team...
The NFC is so bad, they're probably going to be...
It's not that bad.
It's terrible.
It's not terrible.
Yeah, it sure is. Tampa Bay is 5-7, and they're going to win the division.
That's the division.
The entire NFL, there's no great team in the NFL this year. Mm. There's no truly great team in the NFL.
I would probably say, yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah, like it's pretty wide open.
The Giants are minus 25 point differential. They've gotten quite lucky in a few situations that make this team look competent. Saquon Barkley's having a career year, but that team is not good.
I think the whole NFC East, besides the Eagles, are shitty, but I'm with you.
Cowboys are good.
Cowboys are not good.
They're good.
Do you think Dak Prescott will ever win a Super Bowl?
I don't want him to.
I understand that, but in your heart of hearts, do you believe he will?
Probably not.
I don't either.
He could.
But like, does,
and I mean that because like if there's a couple more years like this NFL year where it's where the playoffs are a punch your ticket year, not a look out for these. There's a fucking concrete ceiling of two teams, you know, like vintage Patriots or something like that, which there isn't this year. This is a punch your ticket year. Mm. And guess what? The Cowboys are going to punch their ticket, actually.
Yeah, so. And I just don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl until like Jerry Jones gives up control of the team.
Yeah. Or there's a system like the Eagles have put in place specifically designed for Dak Prescott. You know, and I don't think they're going to change
like
that
they
either.
They keep making terrible hires like Mike McCarthy.
I know, seriously. I know. If Sean Payton comes in next year, the Cowboys, one, that defense becomes the best, immediately becomes the best defense in football just by him being there,
yes,
right?
Yep.
Because he'll start targeting people and shit and paying them money.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He just won't talk about it publicly this time.
Right.
Yeah.
They will, on defense, one, they've got the best defensive player in football. And two, they've got two of the best edge rushers aside from him in football, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think, when if Dallas can do that, but again, you're dealing with Dak Prescott. I think that the best chance they have of winning Super Bowl is to not have him quarterback, to be honest, right now. And it kind of seems like that's what we're looking towards. Like if they, let's say the Cowboys go into the playoffs this year and he gets hurt, that's their best shot of winning.
Money line, right? Eagles on Saturday is where I'm going.
I think this is a clear game where the Cowboys kind of boat race us and like start to feel themselves a little bit, but like
it's definitely a big game for the Cowboys. It is not a big game for Philly.
I can see us losing by two touchdowns.
They still like Philly's last two games are against the Saints, and the Giants at home. No real risk in either one of those, in my opinion. They only have to win one more game this season out of the three they have,
or have one of the Vikings or Cowboys.
Yeah, the Vikings lose or Cowboys lose.
There's honestly such a good chance that in a month or however long, we're watching the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Decent chance. I mean, they
like,
got to get...
I'm like, seriously, like, they could... they're probably the third best team in the NFC.
You got to get by the 49ers.
They're one of only three good teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
The Vikings are not going to
fucking... They're better than the Vikings.
No, the 49ers... The Cowboys are good.
I don't think the Cowboys are good. I don't think the Vikings are good.
The Vikings are fine.
The Cowboys just have the worst coach in the entire NFL.
And,
Mike McCarthy is a fucking moron.
You got the hottest team in the NFC right now.
Who?
The Detroit Lions.
I know. If the Lions won it all, nothing would make me happier in this world. They're 7-7 right now, and they're coming, dude.
Oh, that's who I think their schedule lines up really well.
Sure does. And would you want to play them in the playoffs?
The Lions.
I think the Lions could take out the Cowboys in the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they could take out the Vikings.
But that's a matchup situation. The Lions would have more trouble if there was anyone who could.
Yeah, Lions have the Panthers, the Bears, and the Packers left. Mm-hmm.
It's great.
They could win out.
Easily.
Yeah, and the chances of Aaron Rodgers playing that game at Lambeau on the 8th of January are very
zero.
Slim.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine he's going to be playing that game.
Me neither. But yeah, I'm still looking at the Chiefs. I'm still looking at the Bills. The Bills look great again. It was a fun game to watch. God damn it, I got my dick hard watching that game.
The Bills are having a really hard time stopping the run. It's not going to be good. So here, the problem with that when they go into the fucking playoffs is going to be they are not going to be able to control the fucking clock. The other whomever they're playing, if it's a competent offense, if it's Cincinnati or Kansas City or whomever, will be able to run the fucking clock on them. And that's a problem for them, right?
Oh, they're so fucked if they play Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Fucking Mixon and shit.
You can't. Like, it's that's a fucking big problem. They have a huge gap. And I thought, well, they kind of addressed it by bringing in Von Miller and moving a tackle over. But, man.
But the same six teams I mentioned last week are still the same. Like, dude, the Bengals look great. Bills look great.
How have we not talked about the biggest blunder of the weekend?
Which one?
The fucking pitch.
Oh, yeah, the fucking Patriots.
The Patriots-Raiders ended.
Oh, God damn it, dude. Holy shit. So that was one that caught everybody off guard because, first of all, that game wasn't televised anywhere.
Right.
I was at a buddy's house, and they had Red Zone on. Even they had cut away for it saying, we'll get back to you as soon as this game goes to overtime. Yeah. I had to watch that on a replay later to try to figure it out. Another friend of mine had bet it, and so we're going back and forth, and it said, because it was listed as fumble recovery, which it was a, he caught the pass midair. It was a lateral.
He threw it right to Chandler Jones.
Yes. And I'm like, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Later on after the game, I don't know if you saw the presser, the players said they did this on their own. They were not instructed to do this.
Certainly, I would
not.
Hope so.
Bill Belichick fucking...
Well, it was Patricia calling the offense.
Yeah. I'm trying to say maybe. Bill Belichick probably, I mean, like, he probably wanted to cut half the fucking
Belichick
team
should that. Have had a second son and made him the offensive coordinator, because that's the only way it fucking works.
Yeah.
God damn it. Yeah, actually, that's the... That's,
Steve's not a bad D coordinator.
No, he's good.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah,
I'm saying. Right. Well, another like... Another have son. Two sons. One's offense, one's yep. defense.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he that's has the it. Offensive side of the brain, though.
Maybe not. Does Charlie Weiss have a son somewhere?
Yeah.
He does. Right. Charlie Weiss's son is like one of the youngest offensive coordinators in college football history.
So where the fuck is he? What are you doing, Bill?
He was under Lane for a while. He was at FAU.
What's his name?
Okay.
It's Charlie Weiss Jr.
Mm. Oh, God.
He is...
Right now, he's at our
and he's South Florida.
He's still young, right?
No, he's at University of Mississippi now.
No, he's, I got South Florida here. Charlie Weiss Jr.
Okay.
But,
no, good for him. Good for him.
Maybe that's just the SEO, though. Maybe he moved on.
He was named Ole Miss's offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach on January 17th, 2022. But maybe it's changed since then.
He maybe left.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. He's Ole Miss. He was at South Florida. For some reason, South Florida popped up first.
Okay. So he needs a couple of years in the SEC, and then Belichick can bring him up.
Yeah.
How about that?
But yeah, long term, still the same six teams. Bengals, Chargers, if they continue to get healthy, Chiefs, Bills, and then the Eagles with Minshew, and then the 49ers.
The longer the season's going on, the longer I kind of feel it could be like a random fuck here. Like a 9-7 Giants team.
Who would be? No.
No, it would be the Bengals, in my opinion.
Hear me out.
I'm not saying the Giants this year, but yeah. I'm saying, like, you know, when they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
Right.
The Bucks under 500
yeah.
win God. The Super Bowl.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Man. That would be really run. Fucking funny.
They look so awful, though, week to week. Yeah, because they were up. I watched that whole
they're
game.
They're big on the Bengals, and they blew it.
It was 17-0 in that game, yeah. and they just got fucking decimated.
I didn't end up betting it, but I saw them up 17-0, and I was like, man, this feels like a Bengals live line situation.
I had so much money on that game. Because that was one of the last legs of these multiple parlays, and I was like, God damn, dude, it was only 3 points for the Bengals. I was like, let's go.
Well, there was some stuff happening in the first half that was just totally unsustainable. Like, the Bengals only had the ball for, like, 4 minutes or something insane like that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they had... The Bucks had like more first downs than the Bengals had plays run, and it's just like, well, that's not going to keep happening.
So I'll put it to you this way, because it was 17-0 at 1 point, and then the final score, which the Buccaneers got a touchdown with 2 minutes left, was 23 from the Buccaneers. So that's where we're at with that, and they're still in first place. I don't know what to do. A lot of insiders are saying that this is his last year. You guys believe that Tom Brady's last year?
Well. Why didn't you just give it up? Like, when she gave you the ultimatum.
Yeah. Go out.
Why did you blow up your family for this?
Forget about
know.
That.
I don't what, know.
You, he's got to at least play another 3 years to make it justified.
I agree.
As a 42 or 43-year-old, however old he was, you switch teams for the first time in your career, right? And you go make your point.
Yep.
The point that you had this whole time was like, I want to go be me and I could still win without Belichick. You make your point. Why the fuck did you play another second after
don't
that?
Know.
You did it.
I don't Why? Know. You did it. You did all of the things in this life. The only thing, because I'm with you, because a lot of people are saying he retires after this year. I don't think you can.
Can't.
I think you've got to play two more years, and you've got to call Shanahan and try to get to the 49ers. There was a weird conversation in the 49ers tunnel, too, with Aaron Judge. When Judge was maybe thinking about going to the Giants, like, I think Brady might go to the Giants in the offseason. I know that's fucking weird.
You mean the Niners?
The Niners.
That'd be sick if he went to the Giants.
Yeah.
Although Rob would call him a coward. Because he said Michael Jordan's a coward.
I know. I said it was a bitch move to leave his team in his prime to go play baseball.
Yeah.
It's not.
It is. There was no reason for that.
It's not a bitch or coward move. It's just like, I'm bored. I'm so good at this game. I'm going to try something different.
Yeah, it's really bitchy to say that. I'm bored of this.
I know.
That's not a bitch move. That's an alpha move.
No.
No.
Yeah, it is.
It would have been an alpha move if he hit 62 home runs. Yeah,
it's fat and bitchy.
Yeah.
Well, he did hit 60. You're talking about Judge?
I'm talking about Jordan.
No, Jordan. Yeah.
And then he came back and won 3 more titles, so...
I mean, he had just finished a three-peat. What do you mean?
Yeah, so I'm saying you get – he. Rob is
if
saying
he would have kept him going, do you him think playing he baseball won eight or nine?
Midway through his career was a bitch move. I'm like, no, it's not. Guys, it's like he was bored.
Although maybe not. I mean, look at the toll it took on Kobe and LeBron's body to not take that break in the middle of their career. You know what I mean?
Well, you think about it all wrong.
Especially Kobe. Like, Kobe's legs.
LeBron's been fine.
He just wanted a different challenge. That's all I'm saying. LeBron's
had
a bitch move.
LeBron's had quite a few injuries the past couple years, especially. Remember, he's only, what is he, 37? It's not like he's in a, he looks like he's in his 40s now. And the same thing, like, Kobe's legs kind of gave up on him at, what, 35 or so? That last season, 36, 37 season?
So LeBron's 37, but if he never made the playoffs, he's played the same amount of seasons he would have if he was like 42 or something like that.
And that's certainly something that Jordan benefited from because they were in the playoffs making deep runs for years. Not even before the fucking title. They were still, what did they win? They lost two out of three.
To the Pistons.
In the conference finals.
So it's like,
although that was back when there were still a lot of more best of five series and stuff like that.
Sure,
in the
NBA. But still a lot more games every single year for an extended period of time.
If Jordan doesn't take the break, we don't have a LeBron conversation right now, and all of our lives are so much better because of it.
That's true.
Maybe, or Jordan gets hurt.
Here's another thing: Coward ran from Hakeem. He saw Hakeem coming. He didn't want to lose in the finals.
Hakeem was still there when he got back.
Those Houston teams were gross. I mean, that's the only reason they won is they were gross, and they could have lost to the Knicks.
You know what's really funny is Charles goes over to Houston, and that's when Jordan starts dominating again.
Yeah.
It's almost like Jordan just came back to make sure Charles couldn't win a title.
Yeah, pretty much. To spite Charles
Barkley. Isn't
that
fucked up?
Spiteful man.
I wonder if Charles thinks about that. I don't know if he does too
He's
much
so
thinking.
He's so spiteful. He sent his son to date Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
Who, Jordan? Yeah, that's true.
Marcus. Best.
Wait, so his first year in Houston was 97-98. So I guess it was a year after Jordan came back.
Yeah. Find out what happens there. What happened to, real quick, college basketball? What happened in North Carolina? I thought
beat
they
Ohio
would be
State.
A, yeah, sure did. In overtime.
Yeah.
And Ohio State isn't a good – they're not a good basketball team.
No,
they're a Sweet 16.
Ohio State. I like Ohio State better than I like North Carolina this year.
Look, North Carolina came in at one. All the guys came back.
That was a total overrating. I mean, North Carolina wasn't even – what was their seed
last
year?
They were lightning in a bot. Like,
yeah, they were not a high seed
in the
tournament last year.
They were an 8 seed.
No, they were an 8 seed.
Eight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were – and they have a good –
they were a bubble team last year. They're going to be a bubble team this year.
They have a good roster.
Because the ACC is not overly good. Like, there's Virginia.
It's been getting soft,
It's getting a lot softer.
ACC's getting squishy.
There's a couple of good games tonight. Duke, Wake Forest is a decent game. But
Duke is not good.
Duke isn't good, but
that's a good game.
Because Ohio State isn't very good, so I was surprised that North Carolina went to overtime with them. They are, but that's about it. They're not going to win a title.
Virginia-Miami tonight, too, is a good game, but you can't watch it anywhere unless you have the fucking ACC network, whatever the fuck that is.
Do you really?
No.
Oh,
is it on YouTube TV?
It might.
YouTube TV's got everything, yeah.
Yeah.
They're great. Speaking of which, all those NFL games were on the NFL Network on Saturday. Mm-hmm. YouTube TV had it, dude. $69.99.
It's not bad.
It isn't.
Not a sponsor, but
not a sponsor. I wish they were. Yeah, they sure can be.
Google money.
Yeah. Well, we love those guys. But other than that, tonight's game should be fun-ish. I mean, I got money on it a lot, so that'll make it fun.
Yeah, I'll be chasing.
If Baker wins again, man, fuck that guy.
He can win the starting job for next year, right? If he just kind of like shows up for the rest of the season
for the Rams. If he wins out for the Rams, is he the starter next year?
And you don't have to pay him a whole lot.
No, sure don't. Sure don't. There's not going to be a market for him.
Well, he'll be in the perfect market for his commercials.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Which is the only reason OBJ wanted to play there. So, by the way, the update on the OBJ sitch is, I think we talked about this either on or off air. The reason why he didn't sign with the Cowboys was because he's not fully healed from that ACL. They said he wouldn't be ready until the second or third week of the playoffs. He acknowledged that somewhat, saying, why play the rest of the regular season when I can just join a team during the playoffs? So clearly that is the case.
The rosters don't have to be set?
I guess not, man. You can pick people up. So
I think if they're signed to a team, you have to be eligible to play for a certain amount of weeks, like 4 weeks, I think. But if you're not signed,
but
maybe
if you're
it's different.
Just sitting on the couch, you can kind of just
because the Redskins pulled Chase Young onto the active roster just for that reason.
Yes,
just to make sure he was eligible for the playoffs, and they did it 2 weeks ago. So maybe it's 5 games.
But he does not have a contract, and there's been a lot of guys like these weird guys. There's always, every year, there's always one guy who's like a UPS driver, and then they came in the playoffs.
The Eagles used to always sign like their old tight end. Yes. They would come back for the playoffs.
And so I think Andy that's Reed. The same sitch with OBJ. So
well, he's definitely not going to be signing. If he's only going to be ready in the second or third round, he's not signing with the Cowboys.
Because they're not going to the second.
No, they'll be playing golf then. Or ice hockey, whatever you do in January.
I agree.
Maybe they'll be at the fucking Waste Management Open. We can talk to them.
Exactly. bet with us or against us on mybookie.com, kids. Use that promo code DRINKINGBROS to double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. And again, if you want to go to any of these games, go to DRINKINGBROSTICKETS.com. Please go to iTunes, rate the show 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star there, and you can walk away and enjoy your life. Thanks for joining us, kids. For D'Anthony and Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Hot Bob, Papa Giorgio, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap. Good morning, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.